Welcome. Thank you guys for joining tonight. We're going to start evening in a word of prayer. Brother Beavers, can you please pray for us? Can you please stand and turn to page 429, the first Noel?
Thank you. All right, here we go. John chapter number 17, if you would. John chapter number 15, actually, is what I said. John chapter number 15. And appreciate Jay stepping in and doing the song leading for us. I called him at 5:52 this evening and asked him if he would do that. And so I appreciate him and his willingness to do that. And thank you, Peyton, for that song. And John chapter number 15, if you would stand with me, please, one more time. We'll stand for the reading of John chapter number 15, and we'll start in verse number 18. John chapter 15 and verse number 18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. They had not had sin, and now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this has come to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And he also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. Tonight we're going to speak about this topic, staying or stumbling. Staying or stumbling. Father, thank you so much for this evening. Lord, I do thank you for those that are here. And Lord, I thank you for just your many blessings to us, God. I ask you would help us as we look into John 15, into your word this evening, that you'd help us to be soft-hearted toward what you'd have for us. And I ask that you would speak to our hearts, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The phenomenon of people turning away from Christ is not a new issue. It's happened for centuries. It's happened for millennia. It's happened even before Christ died on the cross. People would turn away from Him. People would turn away from His teaching. And we understand that Paul prophesied to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 that in the last days perilous times shall come. And persecution is one of those reasons why people would turn away. And of course, we understand there's lots of reasons. But concerning our passage this evening, persecution often is what causes some to turn away. And so we see that when persecution will happen, and Paul prophesied that it would happen in the last days, and though we don't know exactly when those last days are, we do understand that it could be at any time, and we understand that we could be in the last days, and perilous times will come along with that. And so when persecution happens, and it will happen, and when it does, how will people respond? How will people respond to the persecution? Will there still be faithful disciples who will keep the name of Christ at any cost? Or will many turn away? We'll find in our text this evening that Jesus' disciples have been given a tool to remain faithful even in these difficult circumstances. And it's a tool that is available to us, and a tool that we should utilize as well. By way of review, we began chapter number 15 talking about the necessity of being a productive disciple. That we are called, as those who are followers of Christ, we're called to be His disciples. One who learns the ways and the words and the teachings and the actions and the motives of Jesus, and not only learns them, but does them. That has the motives and follows the teachings and obeys the commands that Jesus has given to us. We are called to be disciples, but not just simply disciples. We're called to be productive disciples. And so we do that by way of living in complete dependence upon Him. That no matter what your need is, that you understand that your need can only be fulfilled, whether it's spiritually or physically or emotionally or whatever it is, your need can only be fulfilled by Jesus Christ. That's the only way it is. And so you live in dependence upon Him, knowing that and trusting that He will provide those things for you. Living in dependence on Him, exercising faith, understanding that maybe there are times when you don't understand what will happen, where you don't know where things might come from, when you don't understand what's going on, but you do understand that Jesus has it under control. And so you have faith that He will help you through those things or provide the things that you need. So living in dependence and exercising faith and obeying His commands. The things that He says that we ought to do them. And we ought to be busy about following what Jesus said. And so we're to be productive disciples by abiding in Jesus and by loving one another. As we see this in verses 9 through 11. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And we won't take time to read all of the beginning part of the chapter. But we see that we are to love others the way that the Father loves Jesus. We saw that a few weeks ago, that we are to love others with a immeasurable and unchanging love. That's how the Father loved Jesus. And though we can't love one another eternally because we are not eternal beings, we do have responsibility to love one another for as long as is possible, which is from now until eternity. And so we have a responsibility to love others the way that the Father loved Jesus. And Jesus says here in verse number 14, verse number 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And so we see that friendship with Jesus cannot be disconnected from obedience to His command. It's not one or the other. You can't say that you're a friend with Jesus and yet be disobedient to His desires. It's not possible. If you are His friend, if you claim to be His friend, then you will be obedient to Him. And so we see then also that it is Jesus' desire that those who are His friends and disciples would bear fruit by loving Him and loving each other. That's the first part of the chapter. And so, although we will have a community of people who are hopefully productive disciples, that does not mean that every person fits into that category. Every person in this world does not fit into the category of a loving, productive disciple. And Jesus, in verse number 18, reveals to His disciples, to His followers, in some of His last days, that there would be people who would, in fact, not only not like them and not love them, but would just straight up hate them. That's quite a stark contrast from the community of believers that Jesus was trying to build here. It was not a love that they had for one another. It was not a love that mirrored the love that the Father had for the Son. It was, in fact, a hatred just because of who they were, just because of who they followed. So we see that the world hates Jesus' followers. Verse number 18, the first verse that we read this evening. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. What does the world mean? What does this word mean? In the Bible, the word means the word "world" at different times means three different things. It could mean the created earth, right? The geography, the landscape of things. That is the world. We also understand that the world would mean mankind, right? But it also means the third meaning that the world has is the people and plans and organizations and philosophies and values that belong to a society without God. That's what the world is that Jesus is speaking of here. That those people and those who would have organizations and activities and values that belong to a society without God, that's the world. And these are the people that hate Jesus' disciples. That hate the followers of God. Jesus presents the idea that he presents this, the state of the relationship between the disciples and the world. And it's an incompatible relationship. It's not one that a disciple could be part of the world and part of the disciples of Christ. They're two incompatible world views, right? It doesn't mix. You can't be part of the world and a follower of Christ. They are fundamentally opposed one to the other. If there are any similarities, they're surface level at best. There's no way that they are compatible one with the other. They're on opposite ends of the spectrum, and so because of that the world hates Jesus' followers because they're opposite one with the other. They hate Jesus' followers because of who they are, because of their identification, because of their purpose. We see this verses 19 and 20, because of their purpose. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the words that I have said unto you, the servant, and he's speaking to his disciples, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And so we find this, that Jesus teaches that the disciples were not exempt from the hatred of the world. Maybe they thought to themselves, and maybe this is why Jesus said this, maybe they thought, well, you know, we're not Jesus, so we're okay, right? We're just his followers, so maybe we'll kind of slide under the radar, right? Maybe they're really just only after Jesus, and if they get him, then we'll be okay. But Jesus says this, the servant is not greater than his Lord. He said, if you identify yourself with me, and if you follow me, you're going to suffer some of the same fate that I face. You're going to suffer the same hatred that I face. You're going to suffer the same things. And so he says there, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And so we see this, that it's a natural thing that the world would hate Jesus and that the world hates those who follow him. The world does not keep Jesus' sayings and they won't keep the disciples' sayings. Verse number 20 at the end, if they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But they didn't keep Jesus' saying, right? They didn't. They rejected Jesus, and so they would also then reject his disciples. And so I want to ask us this. Does the world hate us? Now, please understand me. I'm not trying to foster a victimhood mentality, right? Oh, woe is us. Everybody hates us. And also, I'm not endorsing the idea that we should be obnoxious to people, right? Because sometimes that's why people hate us, right? Because we're obnoxious. And we don't share the love of Christ, and we're rather brash in our arguments and brash in our conversations. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is this, that if the world doesn't hate us, is it because that the world has become more Christian or that Christians have become more worldly? It could be that. It could be that the world doesn't hate us because we're like them. Not that they've become like us. And so we understand that there is an incompatible difference between the world and the followers of Jesus because they're fundamentally different. The world hates Jesus and is guilty before God. Look at verse number 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. The world is guilty before God. Every one of them. And may I remind us that we were guilty before God. We were guilty. We were sinners that had not had our sin paid for. We were guilty before God. But the only difference is that we've accepted the grace of God that He offers to one and all. And so we see that the world is guilty before God. When Jesus started His ministry, He was faithful to tell the message of the kingdom of God. Everywhere He went, He was faithful to tell, listen, there's a kingdom coming. The kingdom of God is at hand, He would say. He was faithful to prepare and to deliver that message. And because of this, we see this in verse number 22 and verse number 24, that the world has no excuse. These folks had no excuse. They understood. They saw the miracles that Jesus did. And they saw that the teachings that Jesus gave, and He saw the healings, and they saw all of these things, and yet they still rejected Him. They rejected Him because that they were guilty before God. If Jesus had not come, they would be in a state much like the Old Testament Jews. They would be looking forward, though not in full understanding of the kingdom of God and the gospel. If Jesus had not come, there would be a reason for them to say, well, there's not any way for us to permanently pay for our sins. But Jesus had come. He had come, and He came unto His own, and His own received them not. They rejected Him. The world hates Jesus because they hate God. They hate God. Verse number 22 there, it says there, He that hateth me hateth my Father also. They hate Him because they don't know Him. Verse number 20, it says there verse number 21, because they know not Him that sent me. They don't know God, and because they don't know Him, they hate Him. They hate Him. They hate Jesus without a cause. Verse number 25. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. This is a reference back to Psalm chapter number 69. And I'd encourage you this week to take some time and read Psalm 69, because it's a messianic prophecy about Christ coming, and it describes His life and His purpose of coming. And it's quite a rich psalm. But we see this, that the world did not really have any cause to hate Jesus. What had He done to them? He hadn't done anything, well, except for love them, and yet He was hated. He was innocent, and yet He was killed. There was no cause for them to hate them, yet they did. Why? Because they didn't know who He was, and so they rejected Him. Now, Jesus doesn't say that these facts are easy. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that being a disciple is easy. He doesn't say that being hated by the world is easy. He doesn't say that. But He does give us hope, and He does give us some help. Verse number 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. The fact is that discipleship is tough. Being a follower of Christ is not an easy thing. It's just not. I hate to burst your bubble. Maybe some of you were thinking that. But it's not an easy thing. Jesus talked to His disciples on the Sermon on the Mount. And in chapter number 7 of Matthew, he's talking to them. And these verses are often applied to salvation and to the lost. And there's some application that way. But we must remember that the Sermon on the Mount was spoken to Jesus' disciples about how to be a good disciple, about how to be a follower of Jesus. And so Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, familiar verses. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. The way of a disciple is not common. The way of a follower of Jesus is not a common thing. We will not find very many among the world, among those who live. We will not find very many faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. It's just the case. And so we understand that it's not an easy task in this world to be a productive disciple, but be of good cheer, because we've been given one who comes alongside. That's what the word comforter means, one who comes alongside. In other places, it's used to describe the Holy Spirit as an advocate, one who comes alongside to plead our case for us. And so we see that He comes alongside to help us, and He gives us reason to stay faithful in Jesus Christ. Verse number 1 of chapter 16, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. Not be offended. The word offended there is a stumbling block. Something that would cause somebody to fall away. In John chapter number 6, Jesus was talking to the multitudes and he was giving them some pretty hard sayings, some sayings that they weren't necessarily hard to understand, but they were hard to accept. And so in John chapter number 6, he asks them, will you be offended? And just five verses later, it says that most of them who followed Jesus walked away and they left. Why? Because they had been offended. They had stumbled. They had fallen away. And so Jesus here in our verses tonight is trying to encourage his disciples that, listen, there's going to be tough times that come, but you are not alone. You are not alone. There's someone who has come alongside to help you. There's someone who has come alongside that though the world would hate you, he does not hate you. He has come alongside to help you and to be your comforter. We've been given the Holy Spirit that he might help us to stay faithful when others would try to cause us to walk away. He is here to help us. We understand also this, that persecution is imminent. Verse number two, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. And so we see that we understand that there was a direct fulfillment of this verse by way of the who would become the Apostle Paul, right? He would go around and he would kill Christians in the name of serving God, right? He thought that he was following God, and we understand that he was saved by grace and those things. But what Jesus is trying to get here is that that persecution is imminent. That it wasn't just for the disciples of this day, that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Shall suffer persecution. And so, again, I want us to be careful that we don't foster a victim mentality. Well, poor us, poor Christians, we're being persecuted. I want us to recognize that persecution has not really hit the United States. I'm not saying that it couldn't happen, because it certainly could. And I'm not saying that it won't happen, because it most likely will. Because the Bible says that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So it will come, but it hasn't quite come yet. And so the response to persecution is not fostering a victim mentality, but is growing more fervent in our devotion to Christ. That's our response to persecution. That's our response to the hatred that we receive from the world. It's not that we would go to war, but it is that we would focus more on the one who we are called to be with. That's what our job is to do. And so by way of application this evening, quickly, if the world hates us, why would we put in effort to mend that relationship? If the world hates us, why would we continue to try to foster a relationship with the one who hates us? Why would we do that? Whether it's in our personal life or in our family life or in our church life, why would we try to fashion our lives after the way of this world if the world hates us? If the world hates the one that we serve, if they hate us because of the one that we are called to follow, why would we try to live our lives like that? It doesn't make sense. They're incompatible. And yet, how many Christians sit in church every week and they live a worldly life and they foster that relationship? It doesn't make any sense. The world hates us. It hates us because we are Christians. Because we are followers of Him. And so, but then also I want to encourage you in this, that you can stay faithful to God amid difficulty because you have the Spirit of God with you. You have the Spirit of God with you. And I'm not talking just about persecution. I'm talking about any difficulty that you might face, you have one that comes alongside of. I love that term for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. That He just comes alongside me, one who puts His arm around you. That there is somebody who is here to help you, that when you face difficult and trying circumstances, which all of us face, I'm not even talking about persecution here. I'm talking about just the difficulties of life, the terrible and the hard things that each of us face. There is someone here who is willing to help you, who you have not, and you don't have to wait for Him to come, right? This is not like the Bible times when the Holy Spirit would come and go upon whom He would. And this is the Holy Spirit who was given to us as a sign, as a seal when we were saved, that He dwells with us forever. And we are called the Spirit, the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? And so He is with us always. It's not as though we have to wait for Him to come so that we can get some help. He's here all along, and He is here to help you. Amid all of your difficulties and amid all of your circumstances, there is one who comes alongside. And so I want to encourage you this evening that though there will be those who would hate us, and though there may come a time when persecution will come, that you are not alone, that someone is with you to help you. And so, Father, I thank you so much for this day. And, Lord, I thank you that you have sent us the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, though there may be trying times that come, Lord, we certainly are grateful for the freedoms that we have presently. Lord, we thank you for our country, that though there are some difficulties, we are able to meet here this evening freely and without fear of being caught or being shut down. We thank you so much for that. But Lord, as those times do come, as they may, and as they may quickly, Lord, I ask you to help us to understand that you have given to us somebody who is greater than all of that. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so, Father, I ask you, please help us to trust and to rely on the one who has come alongside of us, to trust and rely on the Comforter, that he might help us in these times of need. Father, we love you and are so grateful for this. I ask you to be with this time of invitation and that you would speak to the hearts of your people, those that would be your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. As we all begin, as we stand and the piano begins to play, maybe you've suffered some difficulties and you say, I need to trust the Holy Spirit more. The Comforter, one who comes alongside. However God has spoken to you, maybe you would come and would do business with him. As Jay begins to sing, Jesus paid it all. As Brother Benson comes to do our prayer request this evening, just wanted to be sure to add a preacher onto that list. Was here for just a couple of minutes and just went home. Was not feeling 100%, and so just be in prayer for pastors with the events of this week that are coming up. Just be in prayer for him that he might get better.